Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're strapping in for a bit of a high-speed journey, really, into the world of server and storage technology.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
We've waded through, well, a ton of recent articles, announcements, all that stuff, to bring you the key developments, you know, the things that actually matter and what it all might mean for you. Mm-hmm. Think like warp speed, solid state drives, NAS boxes getting smarter than ever, and the constant need to keep our digital lives secure.
Absolutely. It really feels like things are just accelerating constantly in this field. I mean, just the sheer amount of data we're creating.
Right.
And the demands from things like AI, high-performance computing, it's driving so much change.
Yeah.
And what's striking, I think, is this dual focus. On one hand, making everything incredibly fast, huge capacity.
Yeah.
But also trying to make these powerful tools more accessible and, you know, safer for everyone.
Exactly. And let's not waste any time. Let's dive right into the speed side of things. Solid-state drives, SSDs, the newest generation, the PCIe Gen 5 NVMe ones, they're hitting performance levels that honestly felt like science fiction just a few years back.
Oh, yeah. We are talking about a really significant jump in, well, data transfer rates.
Yep.
Take the SanDisk WDBLC SN8100, for instance.
Okay.
The 2TB and 4TB models. They can read data at nearly 14,900 megabytes per second, and right around 14,000.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, I mean, that's like downloading a full HD movie in, what, less than a second?
Crazy.
And it can handle over 2 million input-output operations per second, IOPS, on those bigger drives. That's really key for tasks where you're hitting lots of small files super fast.
2 million IOPS. So, okay, for someone listening, maybe at home or running a small business,
right.
What difference does that actually make, like practically?
Well, think about loading, say, huge video editing projects almost instantly, or games, you know, with massive open worlds, in the blink of an eye. For professionals, it could mean significantly faster rendering times, maybe quicker processing of really large data sets. These speeds are just unlocking new levels of responsiveness.
And SanDisk isn't alone here, right? Kingston's got their FURY Renegade G5, similar numbers.
Very similar speeds, yeah. Up to 14,800 read, 14,000 write. Also hitting over 2 million IOPS. And interestingly, both of these drives use the same core tech, the Silicon Motion SM2508 controller.
So what does that tell us, that they're both using the same controller?
Well, the fact that multiple big players are adopting it suggests it's a real step forward. It's built using a very advanced process, 6-nanometer lithography, which usually means faster performance, better energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's basically the brains of the SSD, right? So having a powerful, efficient brain is key for these speeds.
Right.
And Kingston also specifically mentions theirs is aimed at high-performance PCs, workstations, not necessarily servers, which kind of highlights that different SSDs are being tweaked for different jobs.
That makes sense. Yeah, you wouldn't put the same drive in your gaming PC as you would in some massive data center, I guess.
Exactly.
And we saw a teaser, too, from AdLink for their upcoming PCIe Gen 5 drives, the G57 and G57H. Also promising speeds around that 14,000 megabits mark, read and write, expected around Computex 2025. So it feels like this extreme performance is maybe becoming a bit more mainstream.
Absolutely. The competition in this, you know, high-end consumer space is really pushing innovation forward. And ultimately, that's good for anyone who just wants a faster, more responsive computer. The shift to PCIe Gen 5 is clearly the next big wave for unlocking even more storage performance.
Okay, so that's the cutting edge for, let's say, consumers and enthusiasts. But what about the enterprise side, you know, where the really big data lives?
The progress there is just as impressive, honestly, but the focus shifts a bit, you know, towards things like long-term reliability, sheer capacity.
Right.
Kioxia, for example, they've announced their CM9 series PCIe 5.0 NVMe SSDs. These are the first enterprise drives using their latest flash memory generation. It's called BiCS, Flash H TLC, with CBA technology.
Right, TLC. That's about storing more data per cell.
Exactly. And CBA is like architectural improvement they've made. The result is pretty significant jumps in performance, like up to 65% better random write speeds, 55% better random reads compared to the last gen.
Wow.
But also, importantly, big improvements in power efficiency and how densely they can pack the storage cells.
Better performance and less power. That's going to be huge for data centers where energy bills are just massive.
Oh, absolutely. It's a major factor. And you mentioned density. They're talking capacities up to 61.44 terabytes in a standard 2.5-inch drive.
61 terabytes. That's incredible.
It really is. And the fact they're already sampling these to key customers, showing them off at events like Dell Tech World, it tells us these high-capacity, high-performance enterprise drives are, well, basically here, or very nearly.
And then there's this SanDisk Stargate controller. That sounds ambitious, like it's aimed at pushing capacity even further.
Yeah, Stargate is really focused on what they call Ultra QLC NAND flash. QLC takes storing data per cell even further than TLC.
So even denser.
Even denser. This controller is specifically designed to manage these super dense memory chips. They're aiming for initial capacities up to 128 terabytes in one drive.
128 terabytes.
Yep, with a roadmap potentially reaching 512 terabytes by 2027.
Half a petabyte. In a single SSD, that's mind-boggling.
It is, and they expect it to support the latest interfaces, PCIe 5.0, maybe even PCIe 6.0 down the line. If they hit their cost targets, you know, reducing cost per terabyte significantly by 2030, that could really change how we approach large-scale data storage.
Yeah, no kidding.
They've already announced a series using this, the DCSN670, expected Q3 2025. That'll use this tech to offer up to 128 terabytes. So that'll be a really key thing to watch, see how it impacts the enterprise market.
All right, so some serious advancements in SSDs, both consumer and enterprise. Let's switch gears a bit. Network attached storage, or NAS. This area is seeing some really interesting stuff too, right? From AI powered systems to like super simple options for everyday users.
The NAS market is definitely broadening its horizons.
Mm-hmm.
The ZLab AI NAS is a great example of that more specialized kind of forward thinking approach.
Okay.
It's built around this idea of smart data management using AI that actually runs on the device itself.
AI built right into the NAS box. So it does things like smart searching, automatically categorizing files.
Exactly. Intelligent search, AI categorization, even AI transcription for audio, document analysis, all happening locally, which is a big plus for privacy, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
And their top model, the D8 Ultra, can hold up to 200 terabytes. It's got a decent Intel Core Ultra 5 processor, high-speed networking. Seems really aimed at pros and enthusiasts who need lots of storage and smart organization, but maybe don't want to rely on the cloud.
Right. That local AI processing is a key selling point, I imagine.
It is. I mean, the processing power might not match the cloud, obviously, but the privacy benefits, potentially faster responses for some tasks, no subscription fees.
Mm-hmm.
That's really attractive for some people. And the fact it did well on Kickstarter and got good reviews from NAS experts kind of shows that appeal.
Okay, so that's one end. Then sort of the opposite end, we have Synology's new B-Station Plus. This looks like it's aimed squarely at people wanting a simple way to ditch cloud storage subscriptions, right?
Right.
For photos and files.
Simplicity is absolutely the key word there. It comes with an 8 terabyte drive already inside, uses an Intel Celeron chip that can handle video transcoding, which is nice. And the setup is meant to be dead simple, like using a QR code.
Hmm.
Features like B-Photos, which uses AI to organize your pictures, and B-Files for file access.
Yeah.
They're trying to mimic that easy cloud service experience, but, you know, with the data stored locally under your control.
Interesting that it's just a single drive bay, no RAID for redundancy.
Yeah, that really underlines the focus on pure simplicity for a mainstream user, even if the sacrifice is that built-in data protection you get with RAID.
Right. Less safety net, maybe, but easier to grasp for someone new to NAS.
Exactly. And supporting Plex Media Server out of the box is a good move, too, for media streaming. And Synology also teased a new NVM-based NAS, the PAS-7700, so they're definitely playing across different performance tiers.
So they're covering the bases, from simple plug-and-play to higher performance.
Seems like it. Broadening their reach.
And QNAP is not sitting still either. They've announced the TDS-H2489FUR2. That name's a mouthful.
Huh. Yeah, it is. But it's a beast. A 24-bay, all-flash rack-mount NAS using those super-fast U.2 NVMe SSDs.
Okay, so this is pure enterprise territory.
Oh, yeah. Dual Intel Xeon Silver processors. We're talking serious hardware aimed at businesses with really demanding stuff. Virtual machines, HPC, AML workloads. It supports up to a terabyte of system memory, multiple PCIe Gen 4 expansion slots. It's built for massive IOPS and low latency. And it runs their QuayTS Hero OS, which has ZFS for data integrity, data reduction features, SSD optimizations, the whole nine yards for enterprise needs.
So for those applications needing insane I.O. speeds, super low latency, that's the kind of system you need. QNAP has also got new networking gear, a 10GE adapter.
Yep, a dual port 10GBE, SFP plus NAC. It supports technologies like SRIOV and RDMA.
Okay, remind me what those do again.
So SRIOV lets virtual machines access the network hardware more directly, bypassing the usual software layer for better performance. And RDMA allows data transfers between systems with lower latency and less CPU usage. Huh. Both are really important for boosting performance in virtualized setups and for high-speed data movement.
Gotcha. Makes sense for those high-end NAS units. And QNAP also has a new High Availability Manager in beta.
Yeah, High Availability, or HA, is all about keeping things running, minimizing downtime. That lets you cluster two identical QNAP NAS units. If one fails, the other automatically takes over, supposedly within about a minute.
Wow. Okay.
So your services stay online, and it uses their SnapSync tech for real-time data syncing to prevent data loss.
Yeah.
Crucial for businesses that really can't afford interruptions.
Definitely. Switching gears slightly, there was some chatter online, I think on Reddit maybe, about the Synology DS925 Plus kind of disappearing from retailer listings.
Yeah. That kind of thing often hints that a product refresh might be coming, or maybe it's nearing end of life.
Yeah.
It's definitely something to watch if you were considering an NAS in that specific category. Usually a sign that new models are probably on the way.
Good to know. Okay, let's touch on some updates in the software and like the bits and pieces that make these storage systems work. We mentioned WD's Stargate controller already, but Unraid, you know, the popular NAS OS, they released version 7.1.2.
Right. And that was an important one. It fixed a potential data loss bug related to their mover empty disk feature in the earlier 7.1 versions.
Oof. Data loss bugs are scary, so definitely update if you're on 7.1.x.
Absolutely. Data integrity is number one for any storage system. It's good they caught it and pushed a fix. The 7.1 series itself also brought some nice features, like importing ZFS pools and better wireless support.
And we saw an interesting little hardware innovation from Gigabyte, this EasyFlex SSD mounting thing on some new motherboards.
Yeah, it's like a flexible base plate with a thermal pad. The idea is it makes better contact with the bottom of an M2 SSD, which often doesn't get direct cooling.
Right. Coolers usually focus on the top.
Exactly. They claim it can drop SSD temps by up to 12 degrees Celsius.
12 degrees? That's actually pretty significant, especially for those hot Gen 5 drives.
Could be, yeah. Better cooling means more consistent performance. Maybe helps the drive last longer, too. Especially important in cases with maybe less than ideal airflow.
And for storage that needs to survive, well, basically anything, ICY DOCK has this ToughArmor EKX PCIe 4.0 enclosure.
Yeah, that thing looks seriously rugged. IPX6 water-resistant front panel holds a 2.5-inch U.2 or U.3 NVMe SSD, fits in a standard 3.5-inch bay.
So military, field work, edge computing, that kind of stuff.
Precisely. Where you need PCIe 4.0 speed, but also serious durability against water, dust, shock. The keylock adds physical security, too. It's a niche, but a very important one for certain applications.
Okay, finally, let's shift to the critical area of security and maybe think about the really long term for data storage, too. First up, the EU's cybersecurity agency, ENISA, launched the EU Vulnerability Database, EUVD.
This is aimed at being a central trusted source for info on security flaws and how to fix them. Should help organizations meet regulations like the NIS2 directive.
That's the idea. Aggregating reliable information to make it easier for organizations to stay on top of threats and protect themselves. A really necessary step, I think. On a, well, more concerning note, there was a warning from a security researcher about potential ransomware living inside CPU microcode.
Yeah, that one's a bit chilling. Inspired by a recent AMD vulnerability, the concept is ransomware that infects the really low-level software controlling the CPU itself.
Which would make it incredibly hard to detect. Or remove.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Potentially surviving even a full OS reinstall. Now, it's important to stress there are no known examples of this in the wild yet.
Okay, good.
But it highlights this trend of attackers targeting more fundamental system layers, places where traditional security often doesn't look. It's definitely a potential future threat vector to be aware of.
Yikes. And speaking of CPU flaws, there was another one discovered affecting basically all Intel CPUs from the last 6 years.
Right. CVE-2024-45332. This one could allow an attacker with local access, so they need to already be on the machine, to potentially read sensitive data from other users' protected memory areas.
Particularly bad in cloud environments, I guess.
That's the main concern, yeah. Multi-tenant environments where different users share the same hardware. It's caused by a flaw in how the chip checks authorization, leading to something called a branch predictor race condition.
Sounds complicated.
It is. Intel has released microcode updates to fix it, though sometimes these patches can have a small performance hit. It's that constant trade-off.
Security versus speed. Okay, looking way, way out now. Western Digital is investing in a German startup, Cerebyte. developing ceramic storage.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. They're essentially laser punching data into matrices on ceramic foils laminated onto thin glass.
Ceramic, so it lasts forever.
Well, potentially thousands of years. It would need power to maintain the data. And it's supposed to be super resistant to heat, water, mechanical stress, electromagnetic pulses. You name it.
Wow. Like digital stone tablets.
Kind of. And they're aiming for a really significant cost reduction per terabyte by 2030. If they can pull it off, it could revolutionize long-term archival storage. Think libraries, government archives, scientific data.
Amazing potential there. Okay, just a couple of quick final points. Backblaze's Q1 2025 drive stats came out. Anything major there?
Not really major shifts. Trends seem pretty steady. Reliability is holding firm with the usual incremental changes between models. Their site has the full deep dive if you're into hard drive reliability stats.
Good to know. Things are mostly stable there. And just wanted to mention, we pulled some info from sources like the weekly NASCompares.com Digest podcast and even looked at a specific YouTube video while prepping this deep dive for you.
Yeah, Backblaze's real-world data is always valuable.
Yeah.
And resources like NASCompares are great for keeping up with that specific market.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. Today's deep dive. We've seen some really impressive loops in SSD speed, right? For gamers, pros, and huge enterprises. New controllers, new flash memory pushing things forward.
Definitely. And the NAS world is getting really diverse. You've got smart AI systems popping up, super simple devices for home users, alongside these incredibly powerful enterprise racks.
Right. Security, though, remains a huge focus. New CPU bugs are a constant reminder we need to stay vigilant.
Mm-hmm. And then looking further out, these innovative ideas like ceramic storage offer a glimpse into maybe how we'll preserve data for the really long haul.
It really feels like the pace just keeps picking up,
yeah.
Which brings both amazing possibilities and, well, ongoing challenges in just managing and protecting all this data.
Absolutely. It never stands still.
And that leads us to our final thought for you listening. With all these rapid changes, you know, this relentless pace in storage and server tech, how do you think it's going to fundamentally change the way you manage and interact with your own data in the coming years? What new doors might these technologies open up for you, personally or professionally? Definitely something to mull over. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.